again. It's just a blessing to be with the people of God again. Would you please get your Bibles as we turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. This is a message that needs to be preached on a regular basis because it has great value. All of God's words has great value, but some messages kind of get your attention and get people to look at their lives and realize that they need to make a change. Matthew, the 24th chapter, I'm reading verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We thank God for the reading of those two passages of Scripture, and the Lord has placed on my heart to preach from this subject. Jesus is coming back. He's been here. He went away, but he's coming back. And when he comes back, it's going to be different than when he came the first time. But here, the Word of God is telling us that we need to watch. And why do we need to watch? Because Jesus said he was going away, but he was coming back. So we need to be aware of that every day as we go about our daily lives. We need to be watchful. Oh, yes. Amen. Because remember now, we yet have the enemy who's out seeking whom we may devour. And we need to make sure that we are doing what God has required us to do. And since he's telling us that he told us in John that he's coming back, so he's saying, watch. We need to be looking for him. Amen. We need to be looking for our Savior. Because the Scripture says, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Nobody in this world knows when Jesus is coming back. We've had many people make many predictions, and every one of them have failed. And anyone who want to make a prediction now, you're going to fail. Because God says that we don't know what hour the Lord is coming back. And since we don't know, then we need to do something about it. We need to do something about it. And we don't need to just say, yeah, Jesus is coming back. We need to do something about it. And this is what we need to do. Verse 44 says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We've heard all our lives that the world is coming to the end and Jesus is coming back. And there are some folks who've heard that all their lives, and they've made no change. It's just an expression to them. But here, Jesus is telling us himself that we need to be ready. Amen. Ready, because he's coming back. And when he comes back, as I said, it's going to be different. They're not going to put a crown of thorn on his head anymore. They're not going to whip him anymore. They're not going to take him from judgment hall to judgment hall anymore. They're not going to nail him to a cross anymore. When Jesus comes back this time, he's coming as the judge. Amen. He's coming to separate. He's coming to get his people from the people who are not his. He's going to separate. The scripture says he's going to separate the righteous on the right side and those who don't know him on the left side. And then those who are righteous, we will be able to go away and forever be with him. And then those who are on the left side, they'll go away, but they go into a place of eternal damnation, a place where they will be punished forever. So when Jesus comes back, if you're not ready for his coming, then you're in trouble.
Amen.
I don't know how any other way to say it than to make it simple. Yeah. You are in trouble.
Yeah.
So since we don't know when he's coming, we don't know, the Bible says you don't know the day or you don't know the hour. Since we don't know when Jesus is coming back, when God's going to say, all right, it's time to go bring the children home. No one knows that. So since you don't know it, you need to be in a place in your life so that you can be ready to go back with Jesus whenever he comes.
Amen.
See, this is what a lot of people are missing. When you're ready, you don't need to know the day or the hour.
Amen. Amen.
When you're ready, if he comes at midnight, you're ready.
Amen.
Amen. If he comes, you know, early in the morning, you're ready.
Yeah.
If he comes in the middle of the day, you're ready. So we're not concerned about the day or the year or the month. We just want to make sure that we are children of God and ready to meet our Savior. Don't be like the five foolish virgins. They went out to meet the bridegroom. They knew he was coming, but they weren't ready. While he tarried before he came, the lamps went out, and they didn't have oil to put back in their lamps. And they wanted to borrow from those who were wise. And they said, no, you go buy some. And as they went away to buy oil for their lamps, the bridegroom came. And those, the Bible says, and those that were ready went in. And then they came back. Those foolish virgins that went away to get their lamps, oil for their lamps, when they came back, it was too late. Sing a song. Don't let it be said. Too late. They were going to meet the bridegroom, but they weren't ready. And people are hearing now that Jesus is coming back, but they're not ready. People go to church Sunday after Sunday, hear the gospel message preached where they're preaching it, where they're telling them that Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the way, Jesus is the life, and they know that they are not living a righteous life, and they go week after week after week and never surrender, never repent. And they go there and they can, some have gifts, they can sing, and they do other things. But as the scripture reminds us, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. You have to repent. Every one of us born into this world, we need to repent because we were born in sin. And sin separates man from God. When Jesus was on the cross, our sin bearer, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You can't be a sinner and be a child of God at the same time. We need to know we were born sinners. And as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. We must be born from above. We must have a spiritual birth. And Jesus is the only way for us to receive a spiritual birth and receive eternal life. So since Jesus told us to be ready, and you don't want to be like the five foolish virgins who went out to meet him and weren't ready. See, folks say they love the Lord. People say, he's my Lord and Savior. but they don't live a righteous life. Amen. They don't obey God's word. They only use that in the right places, as they say, to say, He is my Lord and Savior. But we know that the word of God makes it plain. If He's your Lord and Savior, you got to obey Him. He says, Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? If you don't obey Him, He's not your Lord. If you don't obey Jesus, the Word of God, you do not love Him. So here, when Jesus is telling us that we need to be ready because we don't know when He's coming back, let's go to 2 Peter, the third chapter, and I hope this will make it very plain the importance of being ready when Jesus comes back. And why, if you're not saved, you need to be crying out every day. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Acknowledge who you are. All right. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Police department don't know when the thief is coming. Amen. They'd love to know because they'll be there waiting on him. Amen. But here the Bible is telling us that when Jesus comes back, He's going to come as a thief in the night. Now look what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. He said, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Remember in the word of God, see, God did destroy this world at one time. Amen. And He destroyed it by water. But then God made a promise. He says the next time He destroys it, it won't be by water. It'll be by fire. And every time I see the rainbow that's in the sky, I think of the promise that God has made. It won't be by water, but it's going to be by fire. In other words, God's going to destroy this world again. He said it, and He's going to destroy it again. And so it says when He comes as a thief in the night, you know, I thought about during the days of Noah, they were married and given in marriage and going about their daily business and not even thinking about the Lord. And that's what's happening today. People are doing whatever they want to do, whatever their great desires are, and they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. Say, the government can't run my life and all these things. And it's doing all these sinful things. But they don't know, but they need to know that judgment day is coming. And the Bible says that we're going to have to give an account of everything we've done in this body, whether it's been good or bad. And those who don't want to be under authority, one day they're going to have to bow down to Jesus and declare that He is the Lord of Lords. He is. So people, He's coming as a thief in the night. Amen. And then look at what's happening. The heavens shall pass over with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Says it's going to destroy it by fire the next time. You know, when I look at the news and I look at the fire that's out on the West Coast, and people are running for their lives. Amen. You know, some of them make it and some don't. And the embers are blowing everywhere. And sometimes they have to drive fire on both sides of the road trying to get out. And can you imagine that day when Jesus comes and this whole world is going to be on fire? Amen. You know, the firemen can't hardly put out the fires on the West Coast. But when God sends on the fire from heaven, the fireman's going to be running for their lives if they don't know it. Nobody can put out his fire And he's given us an insight of what's to come, what's in the future. So it's going to be burned up.
Amen.
So the 11th verse is a warning to us. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Since you know God is going to burn this world up, you know he's coming when nobody knows, and Jesus already said, be ready. Since Jesus warned us to be ready, this 11th verse is going to give us some insight on what he wants us to do. So how should we be living? Verse 11, he says, since seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In other words, if you want to go to heaven, you should be living a holy life in this world.
Amen.
Holy. Holiness is a separated life. Amen. We live in the world, but we're not part of the world. We don't do the things that the world do. God has a plan for us. And the plan is that we will be his peculiar people. We will be his people who will obey him. Over in Luke chapter 1, God wants us to be holy. He said in his word, before I read Luke, he said, be holy, for I am holy. God said in his word to be holy. God is a holy God. And he's required people to live and be holy as he is. Then he goes on to tell us in Hebrews, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So Luke chapter 1, verse 74 reads, that he was granted to us that we be delivered out of the hands of our enemy might serve him without fear. See, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to open our blind eyes, to open the prison. He came so that we could be changed, born again, and have our sins forgiven and become a child of God. God will become our Father. Jesus would be our Jeff, God the Father, and Jesus the Son. God is the, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what I want. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In other words, we are in God's family because of the redemptive work that Jesus died on the cross to pay our sin debts so that we could be forgiven, so that our lives could be changed, so that we could become holy people, so that we could become heirs of God, so that God will become our Father. And when we pray our Father, he knows us and he answers us. So he wants us to know we've been delivered out of the hands of our enemy, the devil. And we can serve God without fear. We don't have to fear the devil. God has control over him. The devil can only do what God allows. And God says in our temptations that he will provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. God has promised he'll be with us always. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. God has promised that vengeance belongs to him. God has promised us, Jesus told us that we're in the Father's hand and nobody can pluck us out of the Father's hand because he's greater than all. So we can serve God here because we've been delivered from the devil in holiness. In holiness. God is requiring that we live a holy life, a separated life, a life that's committed to God, a life that is obeys the word of God, a life that resists the devil because God has given us the authority, knowing that we got to meet a Savior one day. All right, so he said, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. This is not a part-time salvation. We don't just live a holy life and a righteous life on Sundays when we come to church. You live it in your home. You live it in your neighborhood. You live it on the job. You live it in the city. You live it when you're traveling somewhere else. Amen. And it's not about who sees you and knows you. It's about God, whose eyes are in every place, the whole and the evil and the good. And there's one thing about it. When God has truly saved a person, they want to obey him. They will obey him because God has empowered us. He's given us his Spirit. And the Spirit will help us do what God commands. I'm so glad that God helps us. And then there's one thing about it, too. We don't have to worry about the devil taking us back because God keeps us. Amen. And God has all power, heaven, earth, and beneath the earth. And our salvation is eternal, so we can rejoice. Yes, we will be tested. Yes, we will have trials. Yes, we will have troubles in our lives. But this is one thing we have the assurance of, that Jesus is with us. He will never leave us. He's right there, and we're going to bring us out victoriously. So we're going to have, once God saves us, we are saved eternally. Amen. And we will serve him and live a righteous life all the days of our lives. That's important that we understand that this is a daily walk with the Lord. Yeah. Every day is a day that we should lift up our holy hands to God as we go about our lives. Our lives should, the scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Your light shines when people attack you and you don't come back on them. Your light shines when people say evil things about you and you know evil things about them, but you hold your peace. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Your light is shining when you do what God says, when God tells you to hold your peace. Amen. God reminds us that he will take care of the situation because vengeance belongs to him, and God said that he will repay. Amen. When people try to embarrass you because you believe in Jesus and you stand up for Jesus, don't back down, then you're letting your light shine. Can I get an amen? Amen. When folks talk to you in a terrible way and you can respond in a like manner, but you don't do it, you hold your peace and let God fight your battle. Thank God. When people try to embarrass you and make you feel bad, And God, who is our protection, it doesn't even let it register in our minds until we get away from them. And then God opened our understanding and said, they just tried to make you ashamed of me. You just tried to embarrass you. But God protected us. And we can say, thank you, Lord. See, God is our protection. Amen. Thank God. So let's live that holy life every day. Every day. Don't be concerned about, overly concerned about our troubles. Jesus said that we were going to have troubles. He had troubles. We're going to have trouble. But the important thing is he was victorious and we're going to be victorious. Faith is our victory if we believe the word of God. So God, since he's coming back, he's going to destroy this world. Back to 2 Peter 3:11. If you look at the 11th verse again, he said how we needed to live, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness. God is expecting our behavior to be different from the world. Amen. Amen. You know, I was in a restaurant once, and this lady was ordered a sandwich, and the people made a mistake. And she jumped all over the young lady. And talking about it, I ordered such and such, and you give me this shit, and I'm a Christian. I felt like, y'all look here, the oldest saint, y'all remember this? I felt like holding my finger up and walk out of that establishment to see, because she did not bring glory to God. The lady made a mistake. She was offering to make it over, and she had the nerves after she said all those things, and talking about I'm a Christian. See, that's the problem. A lot of folks were professing to be saved and not saved. Amen. See, if you have the love of God in you, she wouldn't have done that. She would say, that's all right. Yeah, you know, could you make it over? And I'm sure the lady said, surely we can make it over. People make mistakes. She makes mistakes. We make mistakes. But, oh, saints, we have to be different from the world. Amen. You know, you go to the store, and years ago, they'd look over us. We stand there, and somebody else come up, and we've been standing there, and then they'll wait on them just like we were not there. Well, you don't have to make a scene about it. If you make a scene, you're not letting your light shine. And you don't have to say, I was here before they were, and here you just going to look over me, and I'll never come back to this store again. Wrong. Your light wasn't shining. Just take it. Just take it. Amen. Charge it to God. God would fix it. Amen. See, this is what we do. We try to take situations to our own hand, and God is going to take care of it for us. See, somebody, sometime another person, well, you know, they were here next. Can I get an amen? See how God stepped in? They didn't have to get out of the character, let your light shine, and then God has somebody say, well, they were next. Don't we serve a good God? So our behavior, we got to act. No, we got to live, not act. Got a lot of actors. We want to be real. We want to do what the Word of God says. And we need to understand that in this world, you're going to have trouble. That's what God said. In the Word of God, it tells many are the affliction of the righteous. So in the Word of God, it let us know that we're not only called to believe in Jesus, but we got to suffer for him. So all these things that's part of being a Christian, but there is joy in knowing the Lord. There is peace in knowing that all is well with your soul. There is great joy in knowing that one day we're going to be with our Maker. Oh, I thank God. So God wants us to live a godly life, a godly life. Saints, Philippians 1:27. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Conversation there means your behavior, your conduct. Only let it magnify the gospel. Amen. We are peacemakers. Amen. Let it exemplify that we are peacemakers. Let it exemplify that in the midst of turmoil, we don't yield to the wrong. We stand up for right, even when they laugh about us and talk about us. Amen. I think so. Only let your behavior be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And it says that whether I come and see or else be asked, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. And this is what's necessary in the church. We need to have one spirit. Amen. You know, strife brings problems. If you don't agree with something, you don't have to make an issue of it. Amen. The best thing to do is pray about it. See, because sometimes you might not understand it right. Amen. But if you pray and ask God, God will help you. So we stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, it would be terrible if a church, a son of man come to church and the church folks can't get along. There's discord and there's disagreement and whatever else. Well, your light's not shining. And he can say, well, we do that in the world. We must consistently, through our living, show that there's a difference between holy and unholy. And the problem is this. Many people don't know what the Word of God says. You're acting on your abilities and your thoughts. Yeah. Yeah. If you know what God's word says, you know you have to obey it. Amen. And if you obey it, God will bless you. Amen. And this is why it's so important for Christians to stay in the word, Amen. To know what thus saith the Lord, so that in the midst of being attacked by the enemy, God, Holy Ghost in you, will bring to your mind what to say. I'll hold your peace. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See, there are times God doesn't want to say a thing.
Amen.
And this is what folks don't like about it. He wants us to stand there and take it.
Amen.
And then the devil's talking about you're weak.
Amen.
That's not weak. It takes strength to be attacked when you have done no wrong.
Amen.
Amen. It takes strength to let them say what they want to say and you hold your peace. Amen. So don't let the devil convince you that's weak. It's not weak. It's obedience. Because if you got the love of God in you, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. You can't act like the Son of Man if you want God to be pleased. We got to strive with one mind, working together, for the faith of the gospel, for the upholding of the kingdom. God wants our behavior to exemplify our righteous life. Do you, in your daily activities, is your life being magnified? Are you lifting up the bloodstained banner? Are you bringing glory to God? Amen. See, folks are easy to look at somebody else and find fault in them.
Amen.
But the scripture says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And there's one thing about it. You can't make no one else do anything, but you surely can obey God yourself.
Amen.
And this is important that we need to do so. God wants our behavior daily, every day, to exemplify righteousness. And then God wants us to exemplify a godly life. A godly life. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus, the second chapter. And I want to look at verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11 reads, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. Well, if you're saved, you can't live an ungodly life. Amen. We got to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. And worldly lusts. The scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We should live soberly, amen. A sound mind. Amen. A sound mind. Righteously, you got to be saved to live a righteous life. And when God saves you, you will live a righteous life. And godly, we got to uphold the bloodstained banner to let the world know that I'm a child of God, I'm not ashamed. And they know that by the life that we live. Because they see that we are different from the world. They see we don't do the things of the world. They see that we understand how to give a kind word. A soft answer will turn away wrath. They'll see the life of Christ being exemplified in our lives. And we got to live that way in this present world. Remember, we are ambassadors for the Lord. See, when the United States sent an ambassador to a foreign country, that person was going to represent America and exemplify all the good that's supposed to be here. Well, we are ambassadors for the Lord. Amen. We are citizens of heaven, and we have to represent our Lord and Savior here on Christ. He's not here walking the earth, but he's here in us. He lives in us. And the Bible let us know that our steps are ordered by the Lord. He orders our steps. Thank God that he does. Because our mind would lead us in a world of trouble.
Amen.
Oh, but God is a good God. And we got to live that here, saints, in this present world. If you want to go to heaven, the life has to be lived here. Let's go back to 2 Peter. Second Peter, the third chapter, again, as we look at verse 12. So God is telling us that we need to live a righteous, a holy life. Our behavior should represent God, and our lives should indicate that Christ is in us, a godly life. And then, and we do this all the days of our lives, because verse 12 says, looking for and hasting into the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved with, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We live a life according to the gospel because we know that when Jesus comes back, and God said that the world will be destroyed by fire the next time, we live a righteous life so that that earth being destroyed by God will not affect us.
Amen.
That's important.
Amen.
Amen. Just imagine again, if I want you to reflect to what you see on the West Coast. People running. Then look at the devastation. Amen. But thank God that God has prepared us so that that will not affect us.
Amen.
Amen. When Jesus comes back, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air.
Yeah.
And the Bible said we'll go away and we'll forever be with the Lord. Oh, I thank God. But you got to live right.
Yeah.
And we got to be reminded of what God says. He's going to destroy this world. He's going to destroy it by fire with a fervent heat. So since we know what the Bible says, and since we testify that we are Christian, let's live a Christian life. Let's every day make sure we're lifting up the bloodstained banner. Every day, wherever we are, strangers that don't know us, we're going to be kind folks. We're going to be loving folks. Amen. And we're not going to be hypocrites saying one thing and living another life. No, we're going to, the life that we testify about in church, that's the same life we live in the house. That's the same life we live on the job. That's the same life we live in the neighborhood, wherever we are. If you're in a foreign country, just because we're in a country that nobody knows us, we're yet going to live right. Can I get an amen? Because we know that Jesus is coming back and the world is going to be destroyed. So we are looking for him. We are looking for him because we don't know the day or the hour. And since you don't know the day or the hour, every day and every hour, you got to live right. Amen, to be ready. All right, so as we look at verse 13, it says, nevertheless, we, people of God, according to his promises, because all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. If God promised something, it's done. It will be done because God only speaks truth. And all his promises, he fulfills them. Look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, how wonderful that's going to be in a place, the new heaven and the new earth, where there will be no sinners.
Yeah.
Amen. There will be no bad news. Amen. There will be no robbers. There will be nobody killing people. Oh, there'll be a place where there's everlasting love and joy and peace and happiness. We'll be in the presence of our Maker. Oh, I thank God that there's a better place that God has prepared for us. But let me tell you, folks keep telling people there's a, that, who didn't live right, talking about they're in a better place. They need to stop telling them that unless you died right, you're not in a better place. You got to die in the Lord. You got to die a child of God. You have to die with the Holy Ghost being in your life. And when you have been adopted into God's family, then when you do leave here, the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present for the Lord. But that's only for folks who are saved. And when they are present with the Lord, they are in a better place. Thank God he has prepared us so that we know with confidence that when our time up on earth, we're going to be in a better place. So since we know this world is going to be destroyed because God said he was going to do it and make new heaven and new earth where there's only going to be righteousness. And as I close, verse 14, it says, Wherefore, beloved, people of God, born again believers, those who say, I got the Holy Ghost, those who say, I'm a Christian, seeing that you look for such things, seeing that we know that he's going to end this world, he's going to burn it up, be diligent that we may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Remember, in Ephesians, Jesus says he's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, any such thing. Can't live a hypocritical life and think you're going to heaven. Amen. When he saves us, he cleanses us from all righteousness. He gives us his spirit, a new heart, a new spirit, and that Holy Ghost in us empowers us to obey God's word. We can depend on God to lead us in the paths of righteousness. So those of us who are saved, amen, with all the terrible things that's going to be happening, God has a place for us where there will be eternal joy, peace, and happiness, and we will live with him forever. Jesus is coming back. And the question is, are you ready? Will everyone please stand? God bless you. As we pray, those who are not saved, please, please cry out for mercy. Please make sure of your salvation. Jesus died so that he could give you eternal life and that you would indeed be able to go to heaven. So please cry out for mercy. Let us pray. My Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, how you remind us in the word, in your word, what's in the future. And the day is coming when Jesus will come, and nobody knows when he's coming, only you. And this world will be destroyed. And Jesus will take back to glory all your children. Those who have been born again, had faith in Jesus, repented of their sins, and been made new creatures in you. And you are our Heavenly Father. In Jesus, we'll join hands with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you made a way that we would not have to spend an eternity in damnation in the lake of fire. You made a way for us through Jesus that we will one day come home to be with you and we will live forever. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that Jesus is coming back. Lord, we ask you to keep us meek and humble. Keep us in your will. Keep us in your way. Keep us in our mind stayed on you. And we'll forever praise his holy name. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good, saints. God is good. We need to take heed to the warning. Amen. Jesus is coming back. And you need to be ready when he comes. God bless you. Again, we thank God for you. We thank God for your faithfulness. And again, I want to continue to ask you to continue to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray for our world. The world's in terrible state. Please continue to do that. And I just want to remind everyone that let's continue to practice the guidelines that they've given us. They're not emphasizing it much, but your social distancing. Please keep the sanitary items handy so that you can keep your hands clean. And please wear your mask when you're out with mingling with folks. Please wear your mask because people are yet catching COVID. And this monkey pox is in the land. And I know what they say that is the main reason, but I still think if you practice sanitary condition, it's the best measure. You know, I was thinking about This is the second year we have not had a terrible bout of the flu. And they were predicting that the flu was going to be pretty rough, but people were wearing masks and washing hands, and they have not even been talking about the flu. Amen. But this is one thing we know. God is our protection. Can I get an amen? Amen. God will protect us, and let's do what's right. God bless you, Sister Edwards. God bless you. Please keep our announcements in mind. And again, the prayer meeting is still on. Our prayer meeting is still on. And it begins when? Every day at 6 a.m. Whenever you wake up, it's time to pray. And how long will it go on? As long as we're in this world, until Jesus comes back. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let us, as a church, let's keep praying without ceasing. It is so important. What a blessing it is to be able to communicate with God. And he hears us and he answers us. So let's continue to pray. God bless you. If there are no other announcements, will everyone please stand? Oh, thank you. Scripture, thank you. All right. Scripture for this week. All right. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Thank you all for being so faithful and reading our scriptures and read them and obey them, and God bless us. Always a blessing in obeying God's word. God bless you. Will everyone please stand? Be ready when he comes. Be ready when he comes. Be ready when he comes. Oh, he's coming again so soon. Be ready when he comes. Be ready when he comes. Be ready when he comes. Oh, he's coming again so soon. Oh, don't let them catch you with your work undone. Don't let you with your work undone. Don't let them catch you with your work undone. He's coming again so soon. Oh, be ready when he comes. Be ready when he comes. Be ready when he comes. Oh, he's coming again so soon. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord be in and abide with you both now and forever. Amen. B flat. that was close to C. God bless you. God bless you. How you doing? Good. How's the family? Yeah, Taylor Jackson, I'm still looking for that. Oh, all right. Tell the pastor still looking at that door. All right. God bless you. Yeah, I might have to do that. Yeah. Yeah. I just might do that. Oh, all right. Yes. Yeah.